Please turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, and we want to read from chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. These are the last three verses of Hebrews chapter 2. For verily he, that's referring to our Lord, took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. This morning we studied the occasion when Jesus was tempted by Satan. And Jesus taught a very powerful lesson through his example. He showed how hiding God's word in the heart is one of the keys to overcoming temptation. That principle was revealed in Psalm 119. In verse 11, the writer of Psalm 119 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Jesus had the word of God in his heart. He applied it to the temptations that Satan placed before him. Consequently, Jesus stood firm, did not give in to the temptation, and he remained in good standing before his Father. I've often wondered, what kind of look did Satan have on his face after that? I don't know that because it's not revealed to us, but I do know this. Satan left Jesus. Now Luke tells us that he left for a season. He came back. But Jesus sent the devil packing. He sent him on his way. He had God's holy word hidden in his heart. He applied it to those temptations that Satan placed before him. Consequently, he stood firm, he overcame, and he did not transgress the will of God. Now we learn from Hebrews 2 and verse 18 that we read just a moment ago that Jesus is able to assist us because he was tempted. He came to earth in the flesh. As the writer says, he did not take on him the nature of angels. Rather, he took on him the seed of Abraham. He came in the flesh as a man. He suffered all the trials and temptations that we face. But Hebrews 4 tells us that Jesus faced his without sin. Consequently, he's able to empathize with us in our weaknesses. I don't know about you, but I find that to be very comforting. But verse 18 assures us that help is available to us when we are tempted. And that's why we studied the Lord's temptation this morning, to sort of set the stage for our study this evening. We've already established the fact that Jesus was tempted. The Bible covers that very clearly. But having established the fact that Jesus was tempted, we're now ready to build on that foundation and show that help is available to us when we are tempted. In our lesson, we want to concentrate on some instructions that will help us during the time of temptation. I suppose this is a good place for us to begin. We were actually singing about it a few moments ago. Jesus taught his followers to pray when we are tempted. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus was preaching his great Sermon on the Mount, and he devoted a portion of that sermon to teaching his followers how to pray. He gave what we normally refer to as the model prayer. Let's consider one thing that Jesus included in this prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, that's a statement that we're all familiar with. We've had this prayer memorized for years, no doubt, and that's a very important part of it. But Jesus, when he gave his model prayer, included this request for help when we face temptation. Let's also consider what Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Now, in the context, Jesus was going through a very difficult problem. He knew that he was about to be arrested. He knew what would happen to him. He had revealed that to his followers. But before they came to arrest him, Jesus spent some time in prayer himself. And he prayed no less than three times that the Father would remove that cup of suffering from him. But each time he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus was in complete submission to the Father's will. Now, Jesus was accompanied by Peter, James, and John. And they must have been very tired because they had a difficult time staying awake. When Jesus came back from making one of his requests, the disciples were asleep. And Jesus asked Peter about this. Let's actually look at verse 40. "Then he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now we're especially concerned about the Lord's statement in verse 41. "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." In addition to watching, Jesus told Peter to pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, if that sounds familiar, keep in mind what Jesus taught in the model prayer. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, he specifically told Peter to watch, but in addition to watching, he said pray, and this prayer is very specific, that you enter not into temptation. Now, why would it be so important to depend upon prayer during the time of temptation? Well, Jesus said the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. Because of the weakness of the flesh, we have to depend upon someone who is much stronger than we are. And when we pray, we're talking to God. And you cannot find anyone stronger than God. Can you think of a higher source to pray to than God? Well, there is no higher source. When we pray, we're depending upon him for strength. We need that strength because the flesh is weak. So, our Lord taught his followers to pray during the time of temptation. Now, we're building on the fact that help is available to us when we are tempted. Temptation is something that we all have in common. Now, we'll establish later on, certain things will tempt you that don't tempt me. Certain things tempt me that don't tempt you. But we all face temptations in various forms. We all have our individual weaknesses. We need to recognize that. Satan knows that. God also knows that, and he's willing to help us. But we need to be grateful that help is available to us during the time of temptation. Well, Jesus taught us to pray. Did you notice that song we were singing a while ago? I believe it was the second verse. "When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray?" That's a soul-searching question. We need to think about it and react upon it in a positive way. Well, during the time of temptation, we certainly need to depend upon prayer. Well, let's turn our attention to some additional instructions that are found in James chapter 1. Now, the writer of Hebrews assures us that help is available to us when we are tempted. We're looking at some specific instructions that are given to us that will help us during the time of temptation. We've already seen from our Lord that we need to depend upon prayer. Now let's turn our attention to something written by the Lord's brother, James. Chapter 1, let's begin at verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. These verses identify for us the source of temptation. Well, if we're going to be on guard against temptation, which we need to be, we need to properly identify the source of it. And it ought to reassure us to know that God is not the source of temptation. According to verse 13, God cannot be tempted with evil, and he does not tempt anyone. Now, God does allow us to be tested. However, he does not entice anyone to commit sin. I remember listening to Teresa's dad preach on this many years ago, and he cleared up something in my mind that had troubled me for some time. He showed that the word tempt is used in different senses. Well, I never really had studied that out to find out that was the case. Sometimes the word tempt is used in reference to enticing someone to commit sin. The word tempt is also used in the sense of putting someone to the test. There is a difference. And once we understand that, we can know that God does not entice anyone to commit sin. He does not tempt anyone in that sense. But does he allow us to be tested? Matter of fact, the book of Genesis says that God did tempt Abraham. Now we have additional passages to show that God tested Abraham. And Abraham passed his test with flying colors, we would say. I would love to have been there when that voice said, "Now I know that you fear God," when Abraham was about to take the life of his son Isaac. God put Abraham to the test, but God does not tempt anyone in the sense that he entices us to commit sin. Well, it ought to reassure us that God is not the source of temptation. As a matter of fact, just the opposite is true. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." So God is not the source of temptation. God wants to help us during the time of temptation. That's why we're looking at these instructions, to understand how God helps us. Well, if God is not the source of temptation, who is? Well, we know who the source of temptation is. Satan is. Matter of fact, in Matthew 4 and verse 1 that we studied this morning, after the Lord was baptized, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the Bible says. And in Matthew 4 and verse 3, Satan is clearly identified as the tempter. So the Bible clearly identifies the source of temptation. Satan is the source of temptation, and he's also identified as our adversary. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 identifies our adversary or our enemy. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, these verses in the book of James, in helping us know how to face temptation, identify the source of temptation. It's Satan. Well, I believe it will help us to know who our enemy is, who we're fighting against. God is on our side. He wants us to be on his side. And we need to depend upon him during the time of temptation. But these verses in the book of James also teach us how temptation works. According to verse 14, we're tempted when we are lured away by our own desires and enticed. Now that process has been illustrated many, many times in the Bible. As a matter of fact, you don't go very far into the Bible until you'll see that process being illustrated. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3 and read about the temptation of Eve. Genesis chapter 3, let's start at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now to illustrate how he is subtle, was Adam with Eve at this time? She was by herself. I've often wondered, would the serpent have been so bold as to approach Eve when Adam was present? Well, the Bible does acknowledge that there is strength in numbers. I think that illustrates just how subtle the serpent is. He's very tricky. He knows what's going on. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. Do you think he's going to attack us where we're strong? Probably not. But I've always thought it was interesting that Eve was by herself. Who comes along? The old serpent. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, he's questioning what God had said. God had clearly revealed his will that Adam and Eve were allowed to eat the fruit of all the trees in the garden except for one. They were not allowed to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were informed that when they ate that fruit, they would die. Well, here the serpent is questioning what God had said. You know, I found it over the years to be an unwise practice to question what God has said. When God has clearly spoken on an issue that settles it, we ought not to question it. Questioning God's will lead to confusion. That's exactly what happened on this occasion. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So Eve knew what God had said. But the serpent wasn't finished. This further illustrates just how subtle he is. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. At that point, sin entered the world. The Bible teaches us that sin is the transgression of God's will. That's what Adam and Eve did. They transgressed God's holy will. Consequently, they were guilty of sin. And things turned from that point on. But God punished everyone involved. And when he punished the serpent, he talked about the seed of the woman coming at a later time. He was already talking about coming of Christ. Well, James tells us that we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. Isn't that exactly what happened to Eve? You see, that temptation process has been around for a long, long time. Well, we need to know how temptation works, and these verses are explaining that to us very clearly. But James showed us in this verse that the temptation process can be described as being universal as well as individual. Now, when I say that the temptation process is universal, I just simply mean that it relates to every man, as James says. But the temptation process is also individual in that it relates to our personal desires. I know some people who are tempted by money. I have to say that that's never been a temptation for me. I worked in retail business for a long time. There were times when I handled large sums of money. It never was a temptation to do anything with it. That is, anything wrong. Now, I have many other things that do tempt me, but that's not been one of them. I'm glad for that, and I appreciate that. Some people are tempted by money. You see, the process whereby we're tempted is universal. We're drawn away of our own desires and enticed. But things that would tempt you may not tempt me. Things that tempt me may not tempt you at all. You see, we each have our own desires. And James says each man or each person is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Well, that's the way temptation works. Well, to avoid entering into temptation, this is where it needs to end. Is it wrong to be tempted? No, it isn't. Jesus was tempted. However, temptation has to be stopped before it turns into the transgression of God's will. Now, some very helpful instructions given to us in James chapter 4. Let's read verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Those are some helpful instructions to depend upon God. Of course, we've already talked about the importance of prayer. But you know, in the Bible, we read about a number of people who faced temptation successfully, and some who did not. You know, I've always believed that we can learn a lot by studying Bible characters. There's some helpful information revealed to us as we examine the lives of God's people. To illustrate the point, Joseph, who was one of the sons of Jacob, resisted temptation when he was in Egypt. He was treated unfairly, but he was purchased by a man named Potiphar, and it wasn't long until Joseph was in charge of all of Potiphar's possessions. But Potiphar's wife had eyes for Joseph. The Bible describes Joseph as being a handsome young man. Potiphar's wife tried to make advances on Joseph. He resisted her advances. He knew that what she was wanting was a transgression of God's will. He resisted her advances. Now, she became so forceful that one day she took hold of his garment, and Joseph did about the only thing that he could do. He ran. But he left his garment behind. Later on, Potiphar's wife lied and told her husband that Joseph had tried to take advantage of her. Consequently, he was put into prison. But even God was at work through all of that. The point that I want to make is that Joseph resisted this temptation. Now, when he finally left, there was no one else in the house. Who would have known about it? He could have had his physical senses gratified, but he knew that that would have been a transgression of God's will. Joseph wasn't going to do that. He identified this temptation for what it was. He resisted. Now, it doesn't seem fair to us, but remember, God's providence was at work. It hardly seems fair that Joseph did what was right when he resisted this woman's advances. And he was put into prison for it. The woman lied about it, and Joseph was treated unfairly. But you know, I believe that Joseph could still sleep every night because he did what was right. I remember something else Teresa's dad told me of a personal nature many years ago. He said, "A clear conscience is a good blessing from God." Joseph had a clear conscience. He was treated unfairly because he did what was right. But he knew he was in good standing with God. I believe that's one thing that will help us during the time of temptation, to know that we must maintain a clear conscience. That will be a blessing. And sometimes there'll be a challenge involved. But with the Lord's help, we can resist Satan and we can meet that challenge. So Joseph stands out as a great example of one who resisted Satan, as James teaches us to do. But then there's David. We read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David was known in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. But there was a time when he saw the wife of one of his soldiers bathing. She was a beautiful woman. And David decided to have relations with her. I've always thought it was very sad that Bathsheba's husband was Uriah. He was out on the battlefield serving his king, and David got involved with his wife. Well, the whole story is very sad. Now, David had plenty of wives. He didn't just have one. He had several. But yet he took another man's wife. He eventually had Uriah put to death. And God held him against it. Held it against David. I should say it correctly. God held it against David. He paid a high price for his deed. Well, I believe we can learn from David's mistake. The Bible paints both sides of the picture, doesn't it? Joseph stands out as a great example of one who did resist Satan, but David failed. We can certainly learn from Joseph in a positive way, but we can learn from David's mistake as well. Well, to avoid entering into temptation, we need to realize that the results of it are deadly. Desired, according to James, that is allowed to conceive will result in sin. And the final result of sin is death. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word death, I usually think of physical death. Death normally refers to a separation. And the death under consideration is not when the spirit separates from the body. The sin, or the separation under consideration, is from God. And Isaiah explained that in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. He said, "Your sins have separated between you and your God." Sin is deadly. The final result is death or separation from God. Spiritual death is much more serious than physical death. We all have to face physical death. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. We all have to face physical death, but God has made it possible for us to overcome physical death and be prepared to face the Lord when He comes back on that great judgment day. Well, the information given to us in James chapter 1 will help us in overcoming temptation. So we are assured in Hebrews 2 and verse 18 that help is available when we are tempted. Let's be sure that we follow the Lord's example that we talked about this morning. He had God's word hidden in his heart. Consequently, he knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. And he relied upon Scripture to put Satan in his place. He resisted the devil and set the great example before us. Let's also practice the Lord's teachings. He taught us to pray. And let's be sure that we follow these instructions given by James. You see, the way that we react to temptation is going to determine our standing with God. But in addition to that, it's going to affect our behavior. Our behavior will in turn influence others. Earlier, we began the lesson by reading from Hebrews chapter 2. I can't help it every time I read the book of Hebrews or even think about the book of Hebrews. I recall many years ago sitting in a class at Freed Hardeman studying the book of Hebrews. And I remember very well the teacher. He was my favorite teacher. I believe he practiced these things that are taught in the book of Hebrews. I think that's why he was such a capable teacher of this book. I took the class because it worked out for my schedule. But I'm so glad I took it because I learned a lot. I learned from a man who put into practice the things that are taught. And what a tremendous influence he had upon thousands of people. And his influence even lives on today. I know some of what he faced during his life. He did not give in to the temptations. Consequently, he maintained a tremendous influence that lives on even today. The way that we react to temptation will not only affect our standing with God, but it will influence our behavior that will in turn affect other people. God, help us to remember these things that relate to temptation. I believe they'll help us. That's why God gave them to us in His holy word.